Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You know, when you think about the Word of God, you know probably one of the most common verses concerning the Word is found in Isaiah chapter 55, and it has to do with the Word not returning unto the Lord void. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Well, I believe those two verses are true. But you know, it causes you to want to ask yourself the question, then why, if the Word of God doesn't return to the Lord void, do we not see it do more in the lives of some people, and why do we see it do more in the lives of other people? And the answer is very simple. The answer is that it depends on the heart of the person who receives the Word. You're familiar with the parable of the sower and the seed. We're going to look at that a little bit today, and we're going to consider the various soils in which the Word of God is sown, and we're going to see what happens to it once it falls onto the ground. And you're going to see, in some cases, it's very fruitful. In other cases, it's not so fruitful. The Word is the same Word. It never changes. And it will always be here. And as far as the Lord is concerned, it always accomplishes what He pleases. But you'll remember in the parable of the sower and the seed that there are four kinds of ground upon which the seed falls. From Matthew chapter 13, we see in verse 4, that the word falls by the wayside, in verse 4, and onto stony places, in verse 5, and among thorns, in verse 7, and unto good ground, in verse 8. Mark also has this parable, and in this particular parable, as Mark records it, we're going to look at the cross references and so forth. The first soil is the wayside. The second soil is the stony ground. The third soil is among thorns. And the fourth soil is good ground. Luke chapter 8 also has it. Luke chapter 8 talks about the soils. And the first is the wayside. And the second is a rock. And the third is thorns. And the fourth is good ground. So they're all very similar. The second soil is a rock in one place. It's stony ground in another place. But essentially it's going to be confronted with the same problem. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ interprets the parable for you, here's what He says about the seed of the Word of God that has been sown. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, He says, here's the word of the kingdom that's been heard, and the guy understands it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right, well, his problem is then he didn't understand it, and Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. Okay, same thing is true in Luke chapter 8, verse 12, when it's sown by the wayside, What happens is the devil takes away the word, lest they should believe and be saved. The second soil is stony places, and it's received with joy. And there's a period of endurance, a very short period. But then when tribulation, persecution, affliction in Mark, and temptation in Luke come, the person is offended, and then that's the end of that. The one that grows up among thorns is confronted with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, and Luke also adds the pleasures of this life. The good ground happens to be soil, where the word is understood and bears fruit. Where the good ground receives the seed, where the good ground is a good and honest heart, or an honest and good heart, that hears the word and keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. Now, that was just a brief summary, a brief overview of what we're going to look at today. But you can see in those three parables that the difference then in what happens with the word of God has everything to do with the place where it's sown. Either in the wayside or the stony ground or a rock, the thorns or good ground. And while we go through and do this study, the question you need to be asking yourself is, what kind of ground am I? That's what you want to be thinking about while we're going through this. Are you the wayside? Are you the stony ground or the rock? Are you the person who has been sown among thorns, or are you good ground? Now, the Word of God, as we saw from Isaiah chapter 55, does not return void. It is just like the water that comes down and provides seed and so forth to the sower and bread to the eater, and it accomplishes that wherewith or that the Lord sends it. In other words, whatever God wants it to do, it is intended that the word of God will accomplish that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, you know, then we're going to look through here today, and we're going to see what kind of heart you are, because, you know, I can't tell that. The man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And the heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I believe the heart is known better by the Lord than it is by us. You see, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God sees things in our hearts that we don't see. And hopefully by going through this particular passage or this parable in these passages of Scripture, you can determine what kind of heart you are, and then it'll help you to understand why the Word of God is doing or not doing whatever it's doing or not doing in your life. All right, so let's talk about the wayside first. Are you the wayside? In the wayside, what happens is you've got a lot of traffic. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 4, it falls by the wayside, and the fowls of the air come and devour it. Okay? In Luke chapter 8, when it falls upon the wayside, the Bible says it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. Well, in the wayside, you know what we're dealing with? We're just dealing with somebody that is in the hustle and bustle of life, never stopping. I've often remembered what Sam Jones said. He said, I fear, and we're talking about a preacher that preached in the late 1800s and at the turn of the 1900s, and he said this, he said, I fear lest the voice of the Spirit of God will be drowned out by the click-clack of the steam engine railroad. What's he saying? Once that commerce picks up, once everything starts circulating fast, people can move quickly, and what they want to say and what they want to see can move quickly. Things are really going to be difficult when the Word of God is sown because of the traffic. A lot of the Word of God is going to get trodden down and is going to be devoured by the fowls of the air. And I see that. Listen, when you read Daniel and you read about the days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's two things, two things that happen that are exactly like what we see today. You know what they are? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. He says, the Lord says to Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, we're like that now. With the advent of the internet, and with the advent of jet travel, and with all the high-speed communications that we have, we certainly have men running to and fro and knowledge being increased. And you know what's happened to the Word of God? Trodden underfoot. People are moving so fast, nobody even stops in on Sunday to hear the preaching anymore. And so what happens is, if there's some seed sown into a heart like that in the wayside, just on the go, consumed with communication and consumed with moving, you know what's going to happen? It may go in, what would it say? It goes in one ear and out the other. It goes in, it may get down to the heart, but immediately the devil comes and takes it out of their hearts. That's what the Bible says. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. He doesn't want it to stay in there for any period of time. You see, the devil is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. And as the god of this world, you see what he's trying to do? The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's 2 Corinthians 4:3. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what's happened is, in the hustle and bustle of life, you don't have time to slow down. You know something? I see a lot of this wayside sowing going on. We distribute Bibles out regularly. As a matter of fact, there's very few days that go by now that I don't give out at least one New Testament that we've had printed. It has discipleship lessons in it. It has marked verses in it so you can find the way of salvation. It is a complete New Testament. We'll go out together as a church, and we'll put those out on Sunday afternoons, every other Sunday afternoon. We'll knock on a door, and you know what happens? People come to the door, and it's like they're in such a rush. It is Sunday afternoon. There's nothing really going on in their lives, but they come out with that look of, hurry up, state your business, give me whatever you came to give me, and go to my neighbor and leave me alone. And I realize some of that has to do with the fact that they don't know who we are, they don't trust us, they're already consumed by telemarketers and probably don't even want to hear what we have to say, all those other kind of things. But you know, it's just, you know what? Very few people want to take the time to actually have somebody tell them how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't even want to sit still long enough to hear it. Those people are on the wayside. The word is sown. But you know what's going to happen? Before it has time to settle into the hearts, devil comes and takes it away. Is that the kind of heart you have? Are you in such a big-time rush that the Word of God is being trodden down underfoot and the fowls of the air, that is, the devil himself, has come to steal that Word out of your heart? Do you move so fast that here you are listening on the radio and you're not going to get the importance of this message? You can't stop 5-10 minutes to listen to the rest of this and get what God has for you? Is that how your life is going? Well, it's no wonder that the Word of God is not fruitful in your life. You won't stop. You won't slow down before it has time to even lodge in your heart. The devil has come and removed it. Okay? That's the wayside. The second kind of soil that receives seed is the stony ground, or as Luke says, a rock. A rock. Boy, that just is a good picture of a hardened heart, isn't it? Stony places. Now, what's happened here? Well, in the interpretation, what the Bible says in Matthew and Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8 is this. This thing opens. You've seen it before if you've ever planted like a pinto bean or something. The moisture causes it to open and the little shoot comes up. But before anything else can happen, it dies so that no root ever pushes that shell out of the way. And you've got this little bitty thing that would have made a plant, but since there's no soil or very little soil and no place for it to root, there's no moisture, then you know what happens? It just dies. All right, well, The Bible tells you what kind of heart that is. That this person hears the word and receives it with joy, or the Bible says, with gladness in another place. In other words, he likes what he hears. Yet he hath no root in himself, Matthew 13:21 says, but dureth for a while. And then watch it. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. So in Matthew 13, what gets him is tribulation or persecution. In Mark chapter 4, what gets him in verse 17 is affliction or persecution. Immediately they are offended. In Luke chapter 8, what gets him is temptation. Now all of them like what they heard, willing to come back for a little bit more, but then something gets them. Tribulation, persecution, affliction, temptation, and offense. They get offended. Now, in that case, they're like, you know what? I like that for a little while, but I don't like it anymore. Listen, those five things, tribulation, persecution, affliction, temptation, and offense, are going to come after you when you decide that you like what you hear in the Word of God. Those five things are going to try you. And listen, if you don't survive that little trial, you're like a little seed that grew up on stony ground. There was no earth for it to root, so it didn't root. It just withered, and that was the end of it. Now, Paul made no bones about this in his own personal life and in the lives of the churches that he started on his missionary journeys in the various cities that they traveled. What he told them, and when he was going back and visiting some of the churches that had been started in the cities that he and Barnabas visited on their first missionary journey, was this. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, Acts chapter 14 verse 22, they went back to these cities, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? The Bible says that if you're ever going to do anything for God in the kingdom of God, you are going to endure much tribulation, and by that enter into the kingdom of God. Now you read through Paul, and you're going to find that theme of tribulation to a child of God in the kingdom of God. You're going to find that theme repeated over and over again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Paul says to the Thessalonians, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Watch it. In all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Do you see that? Now you say there are a lot of Christians that aren't enduring persecutions and tribulations today. Yes, and you know why? What's happened is they've already had a taste of that, and they've hardened their heart. They're not about to bear any more of that. They retreat. Hey, take me to a church where I can just feel good, because I don't want none of that, they say. Paul goes on to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. People say, I don't want that. You know, the Bible right here talking about offended, there was a time when Jesus was teaching his disciples in John chapter 6, and he taught them something they didn't understand about eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood. People still don't understand it today. When he talked about that, you know what? Some of his disciples were offended. In John chapter 6, verse 66 says, they turned away and they quit following him. Why? They got offended. Now, we know from Psalms, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, see? Because they love the word of God. But boy, I'll tell you what, this Bible here says in John 6, 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they were offended. They were offended. He told them in John chapter 6, verse 61, when the disciples murmured at it, he said, Doth this offend you? Does this offend you? It did. There are those who turn back because of affliction. If you want to read about affliction, just read the personal testimony of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see what he had to endure for the sake of the Lord God, just for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. He went through affliction. I'm not talking necessarily at the hands of other people. I'm just stuff. Stuff. He begins in verse 23 and runs down that list of things. And I mean, he had journeyings, and he had perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of his countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, and hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness, all that other stuff. Just affliction, just hardship for the sake of the Word of God. And then some fall away because of temptation. Man, have we ever seen this doing personal work. Some young fellow gets saved, and he's so excited, and he goes back to school, and he wants to tell his friends about Jesus. And they turn him off like a bad habit. And then some pretty girl comes along, and she's willing to make herself available to him. And he thinks, boy, now this is good. And what happens is, then he falls in times of temptation. I'll tell you something else that gets him. The devil will bring temptation and try people. And you know something? When that happens, a lot of them say, I've had it. I am not putting up with this. And away they go. Stony ground. Now we have the next group. I guess I should have gone faster on this. I see that we're moving quickly through the time. The next group is sown in the thorns. And you know what gets them? The cares of this world in Matthew 13:22, and the deceitfulness of riches in Matthew 13:22, and the lusts of other things entering in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, and the pleasures of this life in Luke chapter 8 verse 14. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, and pleasures of this life. Now, is that what got you? Is that what happened? In other words, did you start off good, and I mean you were living for God, and people thought you really had it going on, and then the cares of this world took you out? Or the deceitfulness of riches, you said, man, I'm going to chase that buck. They're giving me a promotion in this thing here. I don't have time to go to church. I got to work this money thing. Or the lust of other things entering in, like the young man that was misled by a young girl and her intentions. Or the pleasures of this life. Just, I'd go to church, I'd do things for the Lord, but man, I got to run my boat, and I got to go up to my lease, and I got to sit in my blind, and I got to hunt those ducks, and I've got to take that vacation. I'm telling you, man, there are a lot of people today who have received the Word of God, and today you can't see one bit of fruit. As a matter of fact, you probably couldn't even tell whether they're saved or not. And you know what the problem is? They're overwhelmed with these four thorns that have grown up and choked that Word. Mostly the pleasures of this life. Because before the Lord comes, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible tells us men should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the case. And boy, that deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, that's what took old Demas out. He faithfully served with Paul, but he fell in love with the world and left it. People say, well, I got so much things to do here, I just don't have time for God anymore. Well, then the Word of God cannot be fruitful in your life because the thorns have choked it out. Now, is that your kind of soil? Is that what's going on in your heart? And then finally, you know what? It falls into good ground. And you know, that Bible tells us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that good ground is a man who understands the Word. Well, for a man to understand the Word, you know what he has to do? He's got to fear God. That's where understanding comes from. That man hears that and realizes, you know what? That's the Word of God, and he fears God. John tells us that's in an honest heart. You know what an honest heart will do? He hears that Word of God, and the first thing he hears is that Word of God is pointing out that he's a sinner and Jesus Christ is righteous. And in that honest heart, he says, you know what? God is good and I'm vile. You know what that honest heart says? I'm going to believe every word that the Bible says. And if it says something bad about me, I'm going to believe that. If it calls this world a present evil world, I'm going to believe that. And in honesty, I am going to receive that Word and let it do what it needs to do in my heart. That's a good heart. That's good ground. You know why? Because it responds to the Word of God. And then in spite of tribulation, persecution, affliction, temptation, and offense, in spite of the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, and the pleasures, you know what he does? He keeps the Word. That's right. He keeps it. That's exactly what Luke 8:15 says. Having heard the Word of God, keep it, and then bring forth fruit with patience. You know what? He's not in a rush. He recognizes for an oak tree to grow big and strong and produce good acorns, it takes a long time. He recognizes for a fruit tree to be fruitful and put out good fruit sometimes may take years. He understands for a pecan tree to get up big and really start producing some pecans, it has to live a while and get up there. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to patiently wait until the Word of God is done something in my heart in this soil to make me fruitful. 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'm not going to compare myself to some folks that produce 100-fold. If all I can produce is 100, I mean, is 30. But if 30 is all I can produce, buddy, I'm going to produce it. That's what his heart says. It's a good heart. Now, is that the kind of heart you have? Listen, you don't have to worry about having the right kind of personality to really be fruitful for the Lord. You got to worry about having the right heart. And I just want to know if in studying this today, you have found which heart you are. Are you the wayside heart? You just moving so fast that the Word doesn't have time to settle into your heart? Are you the stony heart that's hardened now against tribulation, persecution, affliction, and temptation? Are you the thorny heart that is so consumed with the cares of this world and chasing that buck in the deceitfulness of riches and pleasing your own selfish flesh with the lust of the flesh and seeking all the pleasure that life has these days? Or is your heart a good heart? Do you understand the Word of God? Have you honestly applied it to your heart? Have you, in a good heart, allowed that Word to be fruitful in your own life? Have you kept it? And are you waiting patiently for God to do something in your heart that will allow Him to bear fruit? Which heart are you? I dare say that if you're one of those early ones, unless you change something, that Word of God isn't going to do what God wants it to do in your heart.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.